My name is Jessica. I read romance, I write romance, and I love anything sci-fi, fantasy, paranormal romance.
Hello, I'm Emma, and I write romance and read romance too.
And we are here to welcome you to a bit of a special little one that we're doing, to do with things that screech and scratch and go bump in the night.
Yeah. So there were monster romance just seemed to kick off hugely this year. I'm sure it's been around a long time, but you know, and then there's kind of like a crossover with paranormal, but this like monster romance has moved on to new planes.
Ah, yes, it has.
Yeah. And there was going to be some anthologies that lots of writers were very excited about and were talking about all over social media, and everybody was getting very excited. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. But we wanted to read some of those stories because the writer said, oh, you know, we'll self-publish them. Or
yes.
And if they were going to do that, we thought, right, well, we're going to try those out. So I think we couldn't do all of them.
I think between us,
we've probably managed about half, haven't we?
Yes.
What was listed. And that was also some of those we didn't have because they hadn't come out yet either.
No, there are still more coming. They're spawning as we speak. So there will be more, and they will be adding to my TBR the more they arrive.
Exactly.
So, yes, we've picked out some each. We've kind of... Because of time, we've kind of read some each. I've grabbed a few, Emma's grabbed a few, and we're going to sort of give you a little bit of a rundown. So there will be a few spoilers, perhaps. So just keep that in mind when you're having a listen. But yeah, they're novellas, so.
They're short and sweet.
Sweet.
Romances. So, you know, you kind of know what you're getting, beginning, middle and ending.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the fun of it, the fun of the monsters and what goes on with them, what the setup is. And I was surprised at like how different they were as well.
Yes, this new breed, this new class of monsters that come out.
Exactly. There's like some things which kind of cross over and are linked themes that are a little bit different to that you'd normally get. But then there's also like just loads of imagination.
They are so fantastic. Yes. I do love them. So yeah, we're going to go back and forth and add some bits and pieces. Mm. And yeah, we hope you enjoy this as much as we do.
Yeah. So shall I start with my first one?
Yes, yeah, please.
I tried. My first one was Bees and Honey by Victoria Wayland, which is set in the Deep South of America, which immediately was like, I love Southern Gothic stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I've read a few fantasy books that are like that, you know, Anne Rice writes stuff like that. That was probably the first sort of Southern Gothic things that I got into. There was also a couple of really good YAs that I read, like Brenna Yovanoff, and there's Texas Gothic, which is a cool one.
I think Cressley Cole's got one down that way as well.
Oh, has she? Yeah. I mean, of course, Sookie Stackhouse is Deep South, isn't it?
Yeah.
And of course, there's the Princess and the Frog vibe as well going, which is very relevant because this
is not slime, it is mucus.
I've got like a whole, I would use the Princess and the Frog for a whole thing about romance. Want and need, the whole song is just perfect for romance writers. One day I will be brave enough to do that at the RNA conference. Maybe I'm gonna use it.
I'm gonna hold you to that.
This is how I'm so shy. I really don't think I could get up in front of a room of people, but maybe with my partner in crime.
I'll get drunk, it's fine, it's all good.
I digress.
Yes,
so yeah, all that lovely vibe, and this novella is packed with that as well. It's great. So the main character is called Heather, and she lives on the swamp. I don't know where exactly. I'm terrible at details. You do details. I don't have you to rely upon to give me my details. And she's a beekeeper, and she sells her honey and wax, you know, like candles and things like that. And there's a legend of the swamp monster, Honey Island, I think it's called, something like that. I think that's the area they're in.
Makes sense.
That would make sense. Yeah, and that's a really cool bit. I learned some great facts. It's really nice how it's written. There's yes. there's little B facts, like just peppered into the story, like as little interludes that are kind of linked to what's going on or what she's doing, which was really, really sweet, and just like a little touch of like humor. So they're in this area of the swamp, and there's an evil developer coming, ooh, buying up houses. And it begins, and there's like one of the, I think the house closest to hers has been bought. The family that was there have finally caved and sold up to the evil, I think his name's McMaster, the developer.
It's gonna be like that.
Yeah, for a golf course or something like that. And she's come out of, I think it's been a while since she had a bad marriage breakup and stuff. And she's got these lovely friends, this couple that live near her, who are just like lovely friends. And there's a real found family vibe to the swamp. They're all like kind of like they're on the edges of society, but they've made a family together in this area, and they love the swamp and they respect the swamp, and that's quite, you know, important. And she gives an offering, they give offerings to the swamp monster, and there's like someone down the road, he's like crazy guy, he's always saying that the swamp monster's stealing his shorts and stuff like this off his washing line, and they pour like a beer into the swamp, and it's for the swamp monster. It's like the offering,
one for me, one for my homies.
yeah exactly. And she's quite worried that she's getting, you know, the guy comes to see her and he's like, you know, offers her a lot of money. She doesn't want to sell. I think she was left the place, maybe by a grandmother or something. I might be making that up. That might be another story. I apologize if that's the case.
We've read quite a few in the last week in a bit, so
yeah. So she's quite concerned. She sits out one night getting a bit drunk, and who should appear but the swamp monster. She's sitting there reading like a paranormal romance book.
So there's little
hints, and she's talking about stuff. I think it's later on there's one that she's reading that's about a vampire, and she's talking about things being unsanitary, stuff that they're doing. And he's like, what's that you're talking about? He just like pops up and starts talking to her. Yeah. And he's, you know, huge, and he's like hybrid alligator, human tail type stuff, long tongue.
Is it forked?
I don't think it was forked, actually. I may have gone back through to see whether or not it was forked.
We read those bits.
Because I was writing very important notes about each of the monsters' anatomies.
Six foot check.
Did you do this? Because it's just me. I was like, this is relevant. Some people need to know if there's a forked tongue.
Yeah. It was dependent on the monster. So some I did, but some of them. So I had some shifty turny ones. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, some, yeah, I've got one like that as well. Yeah, and I won't give too much more away, but you know, there's immediate attraction because these are novellas, there's going to be immediate attraction.
Short and sweet, yeah.
Get in there. You got to get in there. But it was really cool because there was like a great kind of underlying plot with the developer and the threat that was there and her relationship with the monster as well. There's a really lovely part later on which is like, it's a bit mind-blowing, but when they're kind of together-ish and something terrible happens as like kind of this threat to her, to threaten her to accept this offer, and she's gone over to her friend's houses, this gay couple that she, you know, they're absolutely amazing, they're really cool, and they're really wound up for her and everything, and the swamp monster comes with her, he was there, so they get to know him too. So it is like this community thing, he's being brought into it instead of just being like a myth. and he can't sit on the chair normally. He has to turn the chair because of his tail.
Big tail.
And the guy, one of the guys, I'm sorry, I don't remember the character's names, but he makes his chair. He adjusts the chair so he can sit properly at the table. Exactly. It was just like, oh, that is so cool and sweet. Oh,
bless.
Yeah, and it's very exciting at the end, for, you know, the climax and happy ever after. And
it's got to be done.
I loved it lots. I think, yeah, it was delightful.
See, this is the thing. So I've still got the ones, I think most of the ones that you've read on my list that I've not been able to read yet because I didn't want to kind of overlap and just physically be awake all night to do it. And I'm just looking forward to getting through the next lot. But yes, I digress already. Gosh, I ain't even started. So mine, let's start with my first one, is No Getting Over You. Fantastic.
Love it.
By ML Eliza, a.k.a. Marie Lipscomb, I think is how I'm saying it, who is the all for the plus size men and women. Mm-hmm. So, just straight out there, loving it. So we start with Jacqueline, who is in her 30s, and it kind of... Though I'm in my later 30s compared to her in her mid, it kind of had the vibes with me that she's out there, she's on a trek, and it's like she's kind of trying to sort of find a new self maybe, or out there trying to do a bit more. And yeah, that mid 30s point in your life where you kind of start to look at all of these things. And yeah, as most people who don't trek very often would do, she ends up falling down a hole.
I can see it.
And I know the language that would come out of me as I did. But yeah, so she falls down this hole into this darkened cave, bangs her head, blacked out. And then we meet the ogre who is there. He lives in the outer part of this cave. And so he was raised by this clan. And you kind of get on straight away that he's kind of not part of this clan. He's too big, he's too gangly, he has to live like at the top layer of the surface because everybody else is quite small.
Yeah, sorry, I was picturing Buddy the Elf with all the other elves.
Pretty much. Yeah, and he kind of, it's the very same thing that he doesn't know. So he's like, oh, I tried to get through, and bless, his shoulders are all covered in scrapes where he kind of goes so far into the tunnels, but he can't kind of get any further. But they'll come back, they'll come and see me soon. They're not coming as much as they used to, but they'll come back again. And you do really feel for this chap, bless him. His name is Krug. Which I think they try and she try and tries to pronounce it like Craig, but being American, I think it's they say it even differently to us. They say like Craig, don't they?
They do, I think so. Yeah. Probably depending on the region.
Yeah, the part accent. And the bits, yeah. But I'm going for Craig because Midlands, and that's what we do. Yeah. So this is Craig. He kind of stumbles upon this thing, this creature. So to him, she is the creature. And I loved it. It's that she's kind of smooth, but she's got slightly fuzzy legs, which made me giggle quite a bit.
Yeah, in your 30s, your legs are fuzzy far more often,
I think. Yeah, you're going out for a trek. Nobody's going to see you.
Keep you warm.
Pretty much. Yeah, keep the flies away. So yeah, he kind of finds out bandages are up, and they kind of get together, as you said, Novella. And I love it. It had the language barrier thing, which we've discussed before with Fire in His Blood, that they don't know each other's language, but it is done so well that they kind of get that link and that bond together, and the few words start passing over. And it is, I love that, how you can get this couple together with just very little dialogue. It was just done so well. And there's pool sex. There's like a pool, which we know also that me especially loves.
That's another one. I've got to add that one to another list of things. Just like, when I'm reading them, Jess will like this. I'll recommend this one to her.
Just because I couldn't get in the bath. Now I'm never out of it because I'm allowed. But so again, the plot kind of interlinks around his family and his family. And so he stays with this woman, and she knows she can't stay, and she kind of can't tell him, and he kind of knows the same thing, that he knows she can't stay because they're from different places, and they're pushing and pulling. And then his family kind of sniff her out, and then they come for her. And then the rest, I'll let you read the book and find out.
So that is kind of a thing I noticed, actually, is that it's reading it with a writer's perspective of romance, it's quite a difficult task to get that happily ever after with a monster that is either from somewhere completely different or just wouldn't be accepted into ordinary society. So how are they going about getting that? Yeah, because it is, yeah, definitely, like, that's quite a challenge, because I was reading some of them thinking, how's this gonna work?
How does that work? Yeah, so I was gonna say, yeah, that has something with this one, but
yeah,
you have to read them all to find out.
Yeah, so that will link me in to my second, which is At the Crossing by Suzanne Clay, and this one features a crossroads. So it's a demon or a spirit at the crossroads. Now Annabelle she's living with her roommate who she has a crush on, a big crush on. She's come from a very religious background, like a very unhealthy Christian background, lots of sin, you know, she's trapped in sort of that thing. She's come to accept that she's gay. So obviously that would be not great in that situation. She's ostracized from her family. She's trying to leave that behind her, and she's exploring like pagan stuff, beliefs. She's got like a little idol of, who was it? There was like a Greek god or something that she kind of talks to and worships. And her roommate, I think it's called Kate, also does this sort of stuff too, so they can bond, they can chat over that. But her roommate is absolutely straight, she knows nothing's going to happen, so it's kind of like a safe transitionary crush for her.
Yes.
She knows it's the first time that she's had those feelings and she's accepted those feelings, so she's, yeah, it's that
big step.
Yeah, exactly. Now Kate has had her own relationship issues and stuff, and she was going to go and do a ritual at the crossroads where you take your runoff shower water for 5 days. I think that's what it was. It was definitely to do with a jar of water, and you go to the crossroads, but you have to turn your back to them. You throw it over your shoulder, and it's like banishing the bad. Yes. The
like the salt. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But when she does it on the first night, she trips and twists her ankle, and it's like really swollen. She only just manages to get home, kind of thing. But the big thing is, when you turn your back to the crossroads, you mustn't look over your shoulder. I love that. I love like the ritual, the crossroads, and the don't look. Oh, it's so be looking over my shoulder. There's no way. It just wouldn't happen.
It's like when somebody points, isn't it? And it's like, don't look over there. But
yeah, why don't you just do that? So she comes back to their place, and Annabelle offers to do it for her. She offers to go for the remainder of the night on her behalf. It's the first time she's done anything like that, and she's quite nervy of it because it's like a demon, you know. She's still got some ingrained things. She knows like you don't mess with demons at all or anything. But when she gets there and she does it, she kind of senses this presence. And it isn't threatening to her. And I don't think it's the first night. I think it's the second night she goes. So it's meant to be done for 5 nights. Kate done it the first one. And I think on the second night that Annabelle does it, she hears a noise. And she's had a really long day. She's gone there. She was quite miffed. And like this calm came over her. And she felt better, though she was still tired. And as she was walking away, she hears a noise. And she looks. Of course she looks. And she sees the demon. He's like huge. First, she notices the eyes. There's a lot of eyes. And she legs it out of there. She's like, whoa, what have I done? And it's like, calm down. It's all right. We've kind of protected the house. Don't worry. You don't have to go back if you don't want to. I won't go into too many more details about what happens, but she does go back.
Of course she does. Did she look back again?
I don't think she even turns.
Yeah. I'm here now.
She's curious, and she goes and she talks to the demon, who is like in another dimensionary plane. Doesn't have a name. That they won't tell. The demon won't tell their name, because it's like quite, they're like, why do humans give them away so freely? And there's a lot of discussion about different things about, like, you know, why humans feel shame about some stuff and not about others, and it's like really interesting on that level. And it like feeds into Annabelle's story of kind of, she realizes she's not, she's moved on from this crush on her roommate because she's got something else that's interesting her.
Amazing how easily that gets us distracted, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. So it's interesting. It's hard to explain without telling it entirely.
Yes.
It's one of those type of ones. But again, I think it's kind of like you were saying with yours, who was a bit older, and I felt in Bees and Honey as well, she was a bit of an older one and come out of like a bad marriage. And I think there's quite there's kind of like a healing aspect to them as well, isn't there? Kind of like they're moving on to a different phase of life and leaving stuff behind.
We're finally accepting adulthood.
Yes, and that means demon sex.
Yeah,
so yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, have you got anything that links to that?
Demon sex. Oh, yes, I have. Well, I don't know if I do actually, but I was going to say the crossroads thing. After, so we did a course recently, with the lovely Ruth Long. Mm-hmm. Who did it for us, and she was telling us loads of different things about crossroads, and go and research it, because the amount of things that are linked to them was just astounding to me. So I'm very much looking forward to looking into all that again.
Yeah, and it was like, it's one of those things that when you suddenly hear about, I didn't know that thing about the crossroads.
No,
I remember you there mouthing all of the people that were meant to
the 27 thing, were all the musicians who died at 27.
And I'd never heard that. And then I was watching something recently and it came up. There was a reference to crossroads.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's what they mean by that. I'd never I'd always thought of like ley lines crossing and things like that. But I'd never knew there was something to do with like artists and crossroads.
Yeah, crossroads and all that. So Stonehenge is on ley lines as well, isn't it? I think.
Mm-hmm. I think so. They say that, don't they?
Yeah, it's all interlinked. Very cool, which is why we like this stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, so my next book is called Given to the Ghoul by Desiree M. Nicoli.
Okay.
Again, apologies. Sorry. We start with a lady called Mira, and it's really weird for me. So she moves to this little small town. And her parents kind of seem to be a little bit nomadic, that they move around a lot and, you know, a little bit carefree, travel here, there and everywhere. So she gets there and it's not really a bother to her. But I don't know if it's me being British, and I remember watching an American Werewolf in London when I was a kid. So any small town you go into, you go into the little pub and the door closes and everyone turns and looks at you because everybody knows everybody.
That's hot fuzz, isn't
you.
It?
Yeah, like that as well.
So
yeah, to me, if you go into a small town, it's not going to end well, which it doesn't for her. So yeah, we find out that the mayor and the people of this place, it's a little place in Arizona. I don't think they give the name of it, but the mayor has kind of put himself out there for Mira, and she's having none of that. So when the time comes to pick a sacrifice, you know whose name is coming out of that hat.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, she pretty much sees him delve his hand into his pocket and pulls out this little slip of paper. So and she kind of doesn't believe this thing. So you've got to go. The sacrifice has to go out because there is something in the desert that we have to kind of placate. And she doesn't believe any of it. As I said, her parents travel, she's worldly, this is a bit of rubbish. So she's basically like, oh, you know what, I'm going into survival mode. I will get food, I will get water, I will get myself to the nearest town as quick as I can through this desert. So she goes out and they take a load of her stuff. They only give her like one canteen of water. So she pushes through and makes it to the evening. And then she hears something behind her. And she's kind of like, she kind of knows what this thing is. And he's a face. And when she turns to look at him, everything merges back and forth. And he looks human, but it twists and turns, and she kind of chats to him. She's not taking any of his crap. She's kind of like, I like the first face better, mate. So she's not having any of that going on. But yeah, so they have a chat and they kind of obviously get together. And you kind of find out through the conversations that there's a little village full of all of these ghouls. Mm-hmm. And yeah, sort of you look at all the history of all these sacrifices that have been going out, and then you figure out who the bad guys really are. And so, yeah, again, it's not going into too much detail about things because it's giving stuff away. But as with any good monster partner, you do end up with like a bag of skulls at the end of it. So let's just leave it at that. What better gift from your monster other half than a bag of skulls or something along those lines?
Wow. This one is Strange Visits by Kat Turner. And this is quite different. That's why I was asking you about like shape-shifting to see whether or not it was kind of linked, is because this one's kind of like that. It's really interesting. It's more towards the sci-fi side of things. So my last one, The Crossroads, had like a different dimensional plane too, but this one like it's a big part of it, and the main character goes into that plane too.
Okay.
Which is, yeah, it's really interesting. So her name is Cassandra, I believe that's right, yes, Cassandra. And she's come out of a horrible marriage, alcoholic, that she's been with since, I think, probably college time. And she's just got her divorce finalised. She lives, I think, in LA, like somewhere nice and hot.
Yeah, nice.
A pretty sandy beach, which is where she's walking with her best friend, talking about like moving on from it and how she's learning to like ask for things herself. She's been very trapped in like that kind of guilt spirals and, you know, all these, this horrible relationship there stuff, you know, dickhead ex type style stuff.
Yeah, we all know one of those.
Exactly. And her friend goes, she leaves her, they make an arrangement, they're going to meet up with friends another time, I think it's the following day, just to leave her some time to be at peace on the beach and chill out and, you know, kind of gather her thoughts and feelings, process them. And she kind of puts something out there to like, kind of like putting it out there in the universe, but to like a water spirit type thing. She kind of, and then something appears.
Something wicked this way comes.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's kind of like a craft, and she thinks maybe aliens. That's what I mean. It's like quite sci-fi-y. And then
I'm thinking Cocoon.
Yeah, it was, and a bit like The Abyss. I got Abyss vibes as well. Yeah, because nice. Like when the craft's there, and then a being comes out, and that's what was quite, you know, that bit at the end of The Abyss. I've only seen it once actually, but it's exactly. Like the kind of, you know.
I love the way I go all 80s.
Yeah.
You're pinpointing.
So, yeah, and it kind of appears and she's not quite sure. She's like, hello. Yeah. She's not sure whether to communicate or not. And she's going through all these thoughts in her head that are really quite, you know, what you would think. Am I gone insane? What's going really on there? Here? She looks around the beach and there's only one other person on the beach, a guy with his metal detector further down the way who hasn't noticed anything going on.
He's know? Got his earphones on, he's exactly, in the zone.
Precisely, he can't hear anything.
Yeah.
And she kind of, yeah, she makes this connection, and he's got... there's tentacles. First one with tentacles. And I can't remember exactly how it happens, but she kind of agrees to see where he's come from, and he's like I don't know if it was a they or it's just that he could be whatever she wanted him to be, and he was comfortable being called a he, I believe. And he takes her through this, like, yeah, she kind of like she passes out, but wakes up in a different dimension. And he's like, well, you can kind of make this what you want of it. Okay. It's like, so she makes it comfortable, and yeah, they have this interaction. And
when you say interaction, do you mean an interaction?
An interaction.
Yeah, you mean an interaction.
And she returns and she's like, oh, how will I ever get to see you again? And he's like, you can at any time. You need to look for this sign of the two moons or something like that. But she just doesn't understand. She goes, when she wakes up again on the beach, thinking, what the fuck?
We've all done that.
Yeah.
Burnt feet.
Yeah, and she gets back to her house and she tries to do research on it. And then she wonders, do I leave this? Am I actually going insane? Is this a mental break because I've had gone through such stress? And then, like, some people who live in her building, these young people come and knock on the door and ask her if she wants to come up to a roof party. Nice. And she wouldn't have ever done that before. And they were like, well, we noticed that your horrible husband has gone, you know, come out and be with us, be fun. We heard him like yelling at you. In the
yeah, thanks.
And she was like, oh, she's been there like some years and hasn't got to know anyone. And she goes and she like, yeah, there's like a sign in the sky and the moon and stuff. And she's in like, they've got a shallow pool and she needed to be in water, I think, as well. And so like she manages to get across and cross over. And yeah, I can't, it's really difficult to explain because of this different dimensional stuff that she's kind of involved with too. And it gave me the feeling that there was like, this could be expanded into like a series because yeah, there's world building here that's like can carry on. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, it's like what really struck me with this one was how vivid the descriptions were. It's really like you could really see it all. So it's a colourful and like, you know, yeah, it was really, really well done for that. It's which you needed, I think, to buy into
the
experiences that were happening. And obviously tentacles too. There are a lot of tentacles. which kind of made me think, and it's very much, she's going on this journey of like having to learn to ask for what she wants. And that's exactly what he represents to her. She can be what he wants. And when they bond, that's when he gets a name. He doesn't even have a name. She has to pick one for him. It's like this naming thing. Yeah, so it's really interesting from that perspective as well. It's like totally the fantasy. I think there's a big thing with these monsters in that they're like they're built for to be exactly right for their love
what
interest.
They need at the time. Yes,
exactly.
Well, yeah, not all of them, but a lot of them seem to have like this life affirmingness to them because the first one did, that one did. My next one actually links quite nicely to this one, but in a very different way.
Okay. Yeah.
So my next one is, I'm going to look at my notes a bit because I did lots on this. So it's Fear and Other Love Languages by Avida Weiss. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot darker than the rest that I read. And yeah, it kind of, again, it really pulled me in to kind of it, but this is linked to, again, another world is involved to it, but it's a bit more on a scarier scale of things. So you kind of, every twist and turn, your shoulders were going and you were like like that kind of moments for me. Obviously everybody's opinions and thoughts and things are on things, but to me that's what I was feeling. I was edge of the bed when I was reading, kind of thing. Okay, so we start with, I think it's Elia, could be Elia, maybe Elia, who is working in a sandwich shop, and they have this god-awful boss. We all know the kind of type of boss that she's got. His name is Michael. And
sorry, I was just looking at Mike over your shoulder. Michael. Yeah. Does he look
imagine
like
him
that?
Being stern and telling you off.
Yeah.
No, he's just a normal human monster. It seems that he is just trying to get Elia in trouble or get her sacked or something. And they go in and the life is just not being made nice by this dude. So she's having nightmares and she's had a lot of nightmares as a kid. And apology, they, they have been having lots of nightmares as a child, and they are getting worse for Elia as she kind of goes through this moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not been sleeping well because of them. And they drift off to sleep at like a table at work.
Yeah.
And they wake up in this nightmarescape, and it's been something.
I can see that's like the complete opposite. It's
totally different.
Different dimension, not what you would want entirely, as opposed to exactly how you would want it. Yeah.
This is it. So they have been dreaming, nightmaring about this since they were a child.
Yeah.
And it grows a little bit and changes as they've got older, but the time they've fallen into this one, it's off, it's wrong, she can sense it.
Mm.
And they're walking around, and there's a greenhouse, and there's a manor, and there's like cornfields. It was reminding me of The Stand. I don't know if you've seen that, where they walk through the cornfields there, and it was like that, and it was
cornfields
wrong
are always dodgy.
Yeah. And there's this shapeshifter again, this thing, and the only way that I can kind of explain it, it's like the thing of actual nightmares. So it's black and it's eerie and it's dark, and it's just whatever I suppose your own thing is, that's what you're pulling up in your head.
Yeah.
Well, it's what I was pulling up in my head. So as soon as they mention that this god-awful thing is there, that's it. My brain was just like, oh, it's gonna look like this. If for me, it would change to this. And yeah, it's all about fear, and they try and grab a hold of the fear and realize that after all this time, they are maybe not as scared of that as they are of the other things. And then another demon appears, and there's two of them. They are Terror and Mare, so like the nightmare situation. Mm-hmm. And they kind of chase her around this nightmarescape, and you kind of go through the motions with Elia about what she wants to fear and what she doesn't want to fear.
Yeah.
And what fear they want to actually allow themselves to have.
Yeah, yeah.
And
interesting.
Again, it's the kind of allowing everything else to kind of be their choice.
That makes me think of the crossing one, at the crossroads one, because that was kind of a similar thing, you know, what she'd been taught all this time to fear certain, you know, sin and behaviors and like lust and things like that. And her feelings for the being that were there, just her embracing them was, you know, symbolic of her moving on from it all. So,
So the two beings, I don't know what you'd call them, the monsters, beings, were kind of like, you know, we want to scare you, but we're never gonna hurt you. And that's then the point.
Yeah, and you get that then, fear thing, that pleasure on the edge.
Then Elia can make the choice to run and be chased. Oh, and she does.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, not too much, but they all end up in the manor, and things go forth, and they are enjoyed by all.
Mm-hmm.
And the same to yours, that they struggle to get back again, and they wait for it night after night. The nightmares don't come.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of finding the trigger to how they come back.
Yeah, there's that anticipation, and they're like,
yes,
because it's like another dimension or something. How do you get that control and the back and forth?
Yeah, this is it. How could you find something that you should be able to control, because they are their own nightmares? So it's they sort of said, you know, it's our world, but you create it, you control it. It's always you. So it was good, but very dark, and it did have me kind of. Edge of my seat.
It's good. So different, isn't it? Because some of them are like really on the edge of horror, like with the monsters.
Yes.
They've leaned more towards that. Some are like more towards like the what we're more familiar with in the paranormal, but it's just a different type of creature. You know, it's that seeing another side, but they're quite accessible, doesn't push the fear stuff too much once you kind of get yeah, get past it. And then I'll lead on to my last one, because this was quite different. We've got Love, Laugh and Lit by Kate Pryor. And this is like, it's like a comedy one. It's funny. It really hit my funny bone, because I like The Good Place and What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes. Yeah. Oh,
What We Do in the Shadows. So if you think about how What We Do in the Shadows is, when they're like, we've not finished the third series, so no spoilers, please, if you've watched it all. I've got a couple of episodes left.
We've done the film, we've never done the series.
Oh, do the series. Yes. Oh, so funny. Good. So there's the Vampiric Council, isn't there? And they've like got to but you know what I mean? It's like these otherworldly beings and this like mundanity and bureaucracy that's like there, and it's just funny. It's this juxtaposition between the two, and this is what it hits. The main character is called Lily, and she is PA to the necromancer lord. So there was a big takeover. His evil dominion has been brought in. She's the PA. She said there was lots of room for maneuver when there was like an upheaval. The tone is really funny, some of this stuff that comes up. And he's in like a big billowing cloak. I kind of imagined it is a bit dementorish, or maybe like the Grim auditors. Repressed. Yeah, kind of like she can't see anything inside. Oh, I know the one. It's Ghost of Christmas Future.
Yeah,
and just Muppet Christmas Carol, but not quite as big. So he kind of like billows around, and she brings him in. She does his schedule and stuff like that. But you know, because he's the Dark Lord, there's been some assassination attempts on him and stuff. And the last one, he kind of wrecked her office, and she's been moved out to sit in accounting.
Wants to be there.
Nah, while it's been done up. And she goes in to see him, and he's doing a ritual. So part of what he does are like some different rituals and things to try and track down why these assassins are getting in and stuff. It's kind of the thread. It's not massive thread in it, to be fair. I mean, these are novellas. You can't go too deep.
Yeah, you can't. Oh, plot. God, no.
So he needs a shiver to go into the ritual. And she just goes, I'll do that. That's fine. You can do that with me.
Send me.
All right. So normally they get in like temps or something to do these things. I know. It sounds bizarre. It's just so funny. And she does that, and she kind of likes it. She's like, it's not like a I'm scared shiver, it's a shiver. I can't remember why she goes in the second time, but she's like, she's kind of obsessed, you know. She wants to know what's under the cloak, and she accidentally barges into his office one day, and he's got the cloak off. And she sees what's underneath, and it is not what she expected. He's kind of like a centaur slash lion type stuff. He's got a mane, and you know, like you said, with the flat nose, and I think, does he have a tail? But most importantly, he has a triple penis.
Why not?
Yeah, she's like, what in the Sam Hill is that?
3 is the magic number.
And she's so terrified. She's terrible. She goes out again. But it kind of crosses this barrier between them. And what I found like quite
it would,
fun.
Really?
Quite
as you're
funny.
Walking on your bus.
Oh, God.
With his tripod.
Yeah, she kind of tries to apologize and stuff. And he's just like, he's back in his cloak. She can't see his expression. She don't know what's going on at all. It's just so fun.
Where can you go from there?
I know. I can't. It's fun. It's only short. I can't remember what order it goes in as well.
Her, us, them. Where can any of that go? How do you discuss that with people?
Yeah. But he's got another ritual and he needs a first kiss. And she's a virgin. She's not even had a kiss.
Of course
I guess
she is.
I guess if you live in an evil dominion type place, maybe there's issues with dating. And she offers to let him have that. And he has the cloak down and they have the first kiss. And then afterwards she goes to... The ritual space is actually over there. So she wasted this because she was just like, yeah, let's do it. It's like, we're in the wrong spot. So she's like, oh, maybe I can offer you something else as a first time vulnerability. And anyway, so they get into that sort of thing.
Okay. And I won't say what my brain is saying about triple penises and virgins, but let's just gloss over.
Yeah. I was some details. I was like,
we can discuss this later. Yeah.
It works
anyway. Read the book, people. Read the book
definitely. Yeah,
I want to.
It's like she has this friend in HR that she chats to about stuff, and it's like they're complaining about like having organic, and she's like, you can't get organic when it's like baby's tears, that's what he drinks. It's like they're all organic, there is no organic. But yeah, also the thing that I liked about it was this line crossing and him using her for rituals and them not knowing how it can be a bit icky and on the line when you have like office romances.
Yes, HR nightmare.
But when it's a necromancer and a PA. And there's this bit where one of the guys in accounting takes quite a liking to her, and she isn't sure whether or not she what's going on with her. And Soren, his name is, he actually has a name. He's not just the necromancer or the boss.
Yeah.
And she agrees to go out for coffee with this guy. And it made me think of you saying about the skulls. This was the closest you got. He comes out and he just creates a hole, and he goes, then the guy goes through the hole. Like, no.
Like Graham Norton in the chair.
Yeah, you're gone.
Bye, boom.
Yeah. And there's this comment about like there were a lot of sacrifices to begin with, and we used to hold leaving parties, but then there was budget cuts and we can't do that anymore. It's like, brilliant.
A merging of the two worlds perfectly.
So yeah, so you go from like very like, yeah, on the edge of horror to like comedy as well. It's great. Brilliant.
Oh, I love these. I've got so much fun to read soon. So my last one before the official last one.
Okay, yeah.
I'm trying to think if I can link it to anything there.
Is there anything? That was a bit of an outlier one.
A little bit.
Not that there hasn't been humour in some of the others, but that was it's funny.
Oh, bless it. All right, well, mine, it's there's a load in it, so I'm going to try and scale it down, because this is one that I read at the very beginning. I think it was one of the early releases, so I've kind of had to re-skim and re-skim again for reasons. Okay, so this is Carnal Cryptids East Coast, because West Coast is due out soon. This is by Vera Valentine. So this is a multiple partner novella. And we start with a girl called Desi, who works on, I'm trying to try and get the words right for American and English. So to me, it'd be like a fair stall, like where you go.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like a carnival-esque kind of thing where you throw the balls at baskets and stuff and you win a big prize.
Yeah.
So she kind of works at one of them, and it's like the Jersey Shore, I think. Again, my logic of America is very, very small. Apologies, but yeah, she works on one of those, and you know, she kind of it's seasonal sort of stuff, so I think, you know, there's that aspect that she has to come and go, and she lives in a place with her roommate and the rent goes up and they have to kind of, you know, go away because off season nothing is around, everything dies, and they come back and you know, you've got all of that sort of stuff. So one night after work she goes to her favorite bar, and the usual bartender's not there. It's obviously this super uber buff dude, goes by the name of JD, and they've got a link. So she starts chatting and flirting a little bit, and he makes her a cocktail called a Jersey Devil.
Cocktails.
Why not? Yes. After my own heart, what is the recipe? Is it in the back of the book?
you get that in rom-coms.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, you get
scone recipes and stuff.
Yeah.
There's one I saw a blancmange recipe in, and I'm like, does anybody ever eat blancmange?
No, it's like moist, isn't it? Blancmange is not a word that's a good word. Moist. Sorry, content warning for saying that word. I'll have to put that on the show notes.
Yeah. What was that other one you said the other day?
I can't remember.
And I said that's just as bad as moist.
Oh no, it was squishy, wasn't it?
Squishy.
I think yes. Squishy. Yeah. Squishy.
Which apart from
when Dory does it. You meant squishy.
Oh, I totally lost my train of thought. Yeah. So JD is there and he has a tattoo which links to a poem, which is where she got her name from. Which is, if I'm going to say this one, Desiderata is the name that her full given name.
Okay.
But we're calling it Desi. And yeah, so she kind of likes this dude. But then another dude turns up by the name of Will. And he's got green hair and he's looking a bit tired and forlorn, bless him.
Aww.
And him and JD go to the back and she's kind of thinking, well, I'll give it a minute. I need to shoot. But me and JD have got some vibes going on. She goes in the back to sort of just kind of say hi and maybe give a number and finds JD and Will in a very intimate embrace. So she's kind of like, okay, maybe not then. So she kind of leaves and JD is kind of like, no, we need her. And so the logic of JD and Will, they are a triad. There is another chappie called Pen, and they are these things called concepts, which are basically kind of shifter-esque, but not your typical creatures.
Mm-hmm.
So we have JD is a Jersey Devil, hence the cocktail.
Yeah.
Will, bless him, is a champ, and Pen is a Mothman. So we've got a real nice mix there.
Yeah.
So a Jersey Devil, which I was kind of thinking like the football team with the horns and stuff.
Yeah.
But basically, it's kind of, I wrote it down, it is a flying biped with hooves.
Okay, yeah.
So it's like kind of, it reminded me like Thestral-esque, it was like skeletal, but without the back legs kind of thing.
Okay.
A champ is kind of a lake monster, so British, right. you're thinking pretty much Loch Ness Monster.
I see, yeah.
Yeah, and Mothman is pretty much a Mothman. No,
my horror entirely.
You're not keen. So imagine that, but big, really dominant, big and really dominant male.
I would not. No, that's not so, my. I mean, so
your
sure
shimmer
I'd
is
be,
official.
I'd probably
there.
Be all right with it in like fictional form. I'm sure, unless it was like too well described as a moth. They come for my eyes. I don't like them. They're all hairy.
Well, Penn's not coming for your eyes, mate. He's coming for other things. You'll be coming for his. So the concepts, what you find out is that they gain their power through fear. So the fear that people have of these other halves of themselves. Mm. So they need what is called believers, which Desi is, somebody who believes in these monsters to feed them their energy and give them strength. Yeah. So Will, bless him. So out of the three, Will is like the submissive of the three. Penny's like the epic dominant. JD sits in the middle. Will is the submissive. But he has all of the power in the relationship because, he pulls the two big dominant alphas back in and Will is lovely. But so because his monster is kind of sold as the Loch Ness monster is, it's sold as just fun and comical. They look like Sully now. They're blue and they're fuzzy and they're really sweet. Nobody is afraid of them anymore.
Yeah.
So poor Will, bless him. He kind of has to feed off the other two guys to get the energy back. And he's just failing and he's kind of closer and closer to death each year because wouldn't you stop believing?
Mm.
But so I digress. There's so much.
It's like a really like twisted Last Guardians, like an adult, but you don't the Last Guardian? No? With Jack Frost? Rise of the Guardians.
You got me. I'm thinking.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, with the big
confused. Oh. Yeah.
The Big Santa. Yeah. Love that Santa.
Big Santa.
Love again, going back to one of our other authors has a Santa novel, which you should also go and read. Anyway, yeah, so Desi, they kind of pull her in for a date, and she's kind of, yeah, as long as the three of you are with it, I'm with it. So she goes to their house, she makes some fresh pasta, they get it on, and then at the end of the sex, they all kind of show themselves, and then she leaves. God, she's out at the door.
As you would so they be. Get what they want all the way around. They get her lovely fear. Sexy time, so this is and it. Then the fear for dessert as well.
And she's like, I'm having none of that. But there are others whose names I forget who are also concepts and they steal her. So the guys have to go and save her, basically.
Cool.
And
it packs really a lot cool. in this one, doesn't it?
It is. There's so much. And, you know, there's kind of, they all get her back and then they all kind of properly show themselves. Will doesn't. He's a really awesome character. You know what I'm like for my alphas. Mm-hmm. But he's different to every single one.
I'd love that then, because I like a bit of beta too.
This is it. He's very submissive to the two men, but when it comes to her, he kind of, and I think because she starts to believe in him, sees him as this massive monster, he kind of takes a bit more control over her. And he's just, it was never one that I would go for, but he was like my favorite. But yes, there's lots of things with these other dudes who come and take her. And she kind of gets rescued, but obviously she's still epic pissed about other things. So they show themselves and she's like, really? You have to do it that way? But yeah, things happen and you get your dark moments, but you also get your grand gestures and she comes back. So yeah, it's very good. There's so much in there and I loved it. I loved it a lot.
Yeah, that sounds proper packed in. I find it amazing when you have just like novels that are filled with, like, when you've got multiple partners in them and they're all so fleshed out and different. And yeah, it's quite the skill getting that all in there. I love it. I love the dynamics.
Yeah, I did this with Shawshank. So I read the Shawshank Redemption before I saw the film, and it's such a short story. And you think, Jesus, how did you manage to fit all of that into these pages and then make this? Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. Look, these people are so clever. We salute you.
Okay. So, That's my last one of mine. Yeah. So, I've done all my individuals. And so, the last one we're doing, we both read.
We did.
It's a special one.
We got a sneaky peek of this one.
Yeah. We don't mind if we say it's not favoritism exactly, but we want to give a shout out to the author because she's been very supportive of us.
She's our R&A buddy, she's our fantasy buddy. She was moving house and she's been epic busy. And her book was awesome. So it's not due out until today when the podcast is on. So we kind of can we have a sneaky peek? And shove you in our podcast, please. So yes, we're doing this.
Lovely. Yeah, it's out today when this comes out today. Isn't it? Yeah, lovely. So it's All Yours, novella by Vicky Walklate. We've tried to say we hope late. We've got that the right way around.
Walklate. Yes,
Walklate. That's it. Shall I do a bit?
We're
getting used to doing our own things now. You forgot this thing. You come in with the details for me.
Yes, that's
fine. I should remember. It wasn't that long ago.
Oh, we'll still get the pronunciations wrong, though.
So the MC
it's even
is called,
spelled out for you on this, isn't it, in this one?
is Cleo.
Yes.
And she works, she's like the manager of a small zoo, because it's UK based, it's Norfolk. This zoo is immediately familiar to me because we have a zoo just down the road from us, which is just like this, other than crocodiles. They don't have crocodiles.
No. Technically they shouldn't, but they do.
But everything else is like just the same. Well, not everything, but
I'm coming to visit you.
I'm never gonna look at this place the same way when I walk around it. There's like a singing crocodile statue as well.
Oh, it's
amazing. I'm gonna have to go there just to film it.
Road trip.
In fact, I've probably got it on video somewhere for one of the kids' birthdays. It's like the classic place you take your kids for the birthday. Quite expensive, but isn't it? The owner, the founder of the place, has just recently died, and her nephew has come in to take over. He's moving into the property on the grounds, and Cleo also lives there because she's had quite a tragic past. Her parents were killed when she was very young, and she'd only just started working there. And I think it was Maggie, wasn't it?
Maggie took her in as a small fry and helped raise her.
And she's given her the gatehouse to live in, and she's feeling quite lost. They're quite worried about what this guy is, because he's kind of like, it sounds like he was a Brit that moved over to America, and now he's back.
Very corporate, isn't he? He's suit and tie, whereas the rest of them are kind of khaki shorts. And
he's making all the right noises about things, but this was one of those ones where I was a little bit like, okay, is there going to be... Is he like a shift guy? Did you get that a little bit? Yes. Did you wonder that?
As soon as he walked in the door, I'm like, yeah, oh, I was like,
there's not many handsome people in books that aren't the handsomest, you know, person.
The most attractive person in the world.
Yeah, exactly. They're always the most attractive person. Yes. And he comes across quite smooth. He's quite interested in her. And he asks her to go into the back garden where he's had this statue moved by his removal people have put it in there. And he explains to her about it being a crocodile demon. There's a portal every 10 years. And it's just a story. And he's like, say hello to the demon. She's like, say hello. And she's like, okay. So she does it. And then he arranges to have dinner with her the following week, which is a little bit weird, but...
You can chat about work, do this kind of thing. Yeah. I think her mate thinks it's like, oh, you got a date already.
Yeah. It's a little bit odd because, it's the way he's described is like, he says stuff that's quite supportive of the place and it needs some work doing to it. You know, places like that must just eat money. But also she's getting quite creepy vibes off him too, to be fair. And you know, but that's the thing, you're reading a monster novella, so how is the hero or the love interest going to be quite creepy or not? As we've seen, it can be quite a
it
range,
can be quite dark. Exactly. It's a full spectrum of things, isn't it?
You can.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm just listening to you talk. I've got to say more things, haven't I?
So yeah, you don't have to.
No, that's fine. So yeah, so she lives on site. So she works with all the keepers and stuff. She lives on site. Everybody goes home, and I think she's walking through the park one night, and there's like a disturbance in the duck pond.
Yeah,
it's kind of wildfowl and stuff. But there was a quote in there that made me chortle. Like she's sort of somebody's vandalized the duck pond, and he's like, how do you vandalize a duck pond? And I'm just like, how do you vandalize
a duck
pond?
What would you do?
Pond?
Leave a shopping trolley in it or something?
Yeah, really made me giggle. Not quite a little.
Yeah.
So she goes to this pool of water to see what's going on. And as happens, she kind of ends up stumbling in and getting caught in all the reeds and the vines. Mm-hmm. But somebody kind of comes out of the dark, murky waters and saves her.
Yeah.
And he is obviously the statue cometh to life.
Yeah. So, he has a name, doesn't he? Rautkra. Is that it? Rautkra or Rautkra?
Rautkra.
Rautkra.
Yeah.
Rautkra.
Yeah.
Rautkra. Yeah.
Yeah. So he comes out and he saves
her. Thank you, Vicky. You broke that down.
I did. I did a little high five.
So
he takes her home, and I can't remember if the sexy times happen now, but I think he takes her home and looks after her a little bit, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Oh, he's very dominant, isn't he? And he's kind of like,
hello
pet.
Hello pet. Yeah. So she's had the sexy dream. We forgot. That's the first thing.
We start talking and
this is what happens. But she wasn't sure. She just saw like the golden
the eyes.
And it's this like feeling that comes over her. There's like a warmth and
a way to put it.
A scent and stuff that just basically gets her really horny.
Yeah. So then he saves her from the pond.
Yeah. Well remembered. And she, because so she recognizes that the eyes and the scent and stuff. And I forget. Yeah, he's very dominant.
He is.
I think he holds off.
Yes, there's kind of. Yes, there's a few interesting moments, but she's kind of getting to the point of frustration.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, are we boning or are we not? Come on. Yeah. And she kind of sneaks up to the house one night to try and look through the window, and she sees the nephew, who's JC, talking with this crocodile, and is like, okay.
Yeah.
He knows.
Yeah. What is it? So clearly they're not the same person. It's definitely just the statue. And
the nephew.
Yeah.
And yeah, it gets to the point where they consummate, and then I don't want to say too much. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. This one's another one that's got quite an action sort of plot. There's stuff that's going on at the duck pond that kind of feeds into
Portal duck pondiness of things. So
yes, and it's cool. It's clever the way it wraps up.
Yes.
It's very like action packed at the end and everything. Yeah.
Yes.
I really enjoyed it. Definitely.
He was a nasty man.
Yeah.
So yeah. How many is that? Is that like,
I think
nine,
between
I think?
Us, yeah. That's we managed, yeah, nine.
Nine.
So
there were still lots more that I'm very well. I've got four there.
So many. It was, well, yeah, exactly. I've got to read your ones now. So.
Yeah, it was kind of I'm sat there and I'm like, I wanna read them, and I know I can't because if I've got like nine or ten going around my head, I'm already mixing bits up for these ones. So
yeah. Yeah,
it was a monster,
have to like I had a couple still left on there that because we'd kind of split up
the list that we had,
and I know there's a couple still on my Kindle
before
these ones that you read. I'm like, yeah, I want to try that
well,
now.
Yeah, so on the Twitter SFF Romcast page, if you go and have a look, there is a list of all of these that we did. And yeah, when we did our fest in October, we did a Monster Day, so there's loads in there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if you kind of do the hashtag Monster Love, I think loads of them will come up. So if this floats your boat, then that is definitely a thing. Or mooch around
we
my
can
Twitter
find
stuff,
it can't we
there.
And pop the link in the show notes as well to bring that all up. We'll do a list, we'll make sure we put in
we'll put them all
these
in
ones are. And I think, just it probably is evident, and we always put it in the show notes, but absolutely, definitely, definitely check the content warning for monster romances. Definitely.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Because not everybody loves a tentacle.
Not everybody loves
weirdly.
A tentacle.
I don't know why.
You know.
I prefer claws to tentacles myself.
You do, talons. Yeah. Triple penises, anybody? No.
Never entered my head before, not literally or physically.
Oh God, Jess, you had to go there.
I did. But it's something I'd consider. Maybe if I'm on the naughty list next year.
Yeah, well. That links back to if you haven't listened to our TBR Christmas one, there's some naughty list ones on there as well.
So yeah, go and enjoy those too.
Yeah.
And come back and join us in 2022.
Yeah, hopefully. What we thinking around April, we're hoping
something like that.
Yeah. Springtime, we're hoping to do season two when we'll go into like the novel length things and do our 6 degrees of separation again.
Season two, the revenge.
I'm gonna call it that now.
Seriously, that's all seconds are called the revenge, and then the third we have to do like with a vengeance, like the Die Hard.
Okay, so we're gonna follow that. How many do they go up to now? It's about six.
Five. There's but five Die Hard, I think.
We'll have to find something that's got a few more.
Harry Potter's got seven.
Yeah, not sure we want to do Harry Potter stuff though.
No, not really. Indiana Jones has got four.
Yeah, probably.
And the Temple of
Star Wars. Star Wars has got millions of spin-offs there. Okay.
Marvel. So, how many franchises can we fit in one?
If you
podcast?
Have any ideas for what we're going to call each of the seasons, let us know.
Or any books that you would like us to put forward.
We'll still be here probably when we're like in our 70s.
Old and greyer. Romance never stops. But yeah, so that's it. Thank you very much for listening. Yeah, we've had a fantastic time finally getting this done.
Yeah, it's been brilliant. It has been lots of fun reading the short and sweet ones, definitely.
Oh, I have very much enjoyed them.
Yeah. Okay. And we hope you had lovely holidays and bring all good things for 2022.
Excellent work. Cool, cool. Follow us on all the places at SFF Romcast. Come and say hi. Yeah, we like to talk. You might have noticed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See you soon.